Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we return again to the verse in the Bible that we have been focused on this week, Genesis 3:16, I want to remind you that God's punishment of Eve falls in relation to two objects. By objects, I do not mean things, I mean people. The first is her children, and the second is her husband. It does not take a PhD in theology or a degree in rocket science to figure this out. Simply reading the verse makes this obvious. God says, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." That is clear. That is direct. Eve sinned, and as a consequence, she will have pain related to her children, and she will have pain related to her husband. And thus far, we have dealt with Eve's, really with all women's relationship to their children, especially to childbirth. I do want to move on to talk about God's word regarding husbands, but just before we get there, I want to remind you about the slice of good news that we found even in this pain moms experience in childbirth, in bringing forth children. We wonder, how could such pain be a blessing? Obviously, I am not a woman, and I have never been in a delivery room. My wife and I do not have children, but I know moms. And I know dads, and I hear the stories, the agonizing labor and delivery, the screams, even the cursing. God said there would be pain in childbirth, and sure enough, there is pain in childbirth. But isn't there also the blessing when the baby makes its first cry, and when the little boy or girl is lifted onto the arms of the mother? Dad may be nearby as well. Oh yes, the joy of the baby has to come through the pain of the birth. Joy comes out of sorrow. And this reminds me of what Jesus said. In John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, in verse 21, Jesus said, "Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, because of the joy that a child has been born into the world." John 16:21. That is so true. Jesus, as always, speaks truth. Are you a mother? If I ask you about your children, do you immediately begin to tell me about how terribly painful it was to give birth? No. You're going to tell me something about your sons and daughters that highlight who they are now. I am not saying you will not complain about your kids. You might tell me, "My son," complaint stated, or "My daughter," she, complaint stated. Not all is paradise in mother-child relationships, but I just do not hear a lot of mothers bringing up birth pangs when the kids are mentioned. When you hold that little baby, that new life in your arms for the first time, what joy! It changes you. Now, that is what Jesus said. Just like how it was through childbirth that one mother, a very long time ago, gave birth to a son and they called him Jesus. Jesus' mother Mary felt all the pain any mother does, only worse, because there were not available the drugs we now have to ease the agony. She labored, and by God's grace, this young mother gave birth to Jesus. And Jesus is the Savior who has come to lift the punishment for sin for all who believe in him, so that out of sorrow there emerges this great joy. It is interesting to me that in Scripture, birth is used to picture salvation. For example, Jesus told the Pharisee Nicodemus, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus is clear. We must be born again. This speaks of the new birth we have when Christ forgives us our sin and the Holy Spirit transforms us. He sanctifies us from the inside out. And isn't the whole of creation longing for and eagerly expecting deliverance from the curse of sin? It is not just people who yearn to be delivered from our flesh, our lust, and our evil desires. It is literally all of creation. Listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Romans 8, 19 says, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." When Jesus comes again, there will be the birth of the new world under his rule. Creation waits for this. I will stay in Romans chapter 8 and drop down to verses 21 and 22. This is Romans 8, 21 and 22. "That the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." There it is, the groans, the suffering, and the pains of childbirth. Here again, the Bible uses pain in childbirth to draw us to reflect on the miracle and the power of salvation, of being set free from slavery of sin and corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I'd like to recommend Romans 8, 19, 21, and 22 for your reading. Romans chapter 8, 19, 21, and 22. We're talking about how, through the pain of childbirth, there can be a blessing. And I would like to share with you one more New Testament scripture. It is a text you might not expect. 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. I'll read what Paul says to Timothy and then share some insights. This is a verse that those of you who are Christians will want to pay particular attention to, especially you Christian mothers. 1 Timothy 2:15 says, "But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint." Paul is not writing here about the past, but about the future. This verse is not about the first woman Eve, but about future women. Notice he begins, "will be preserved," not "was preserved" or "were preserved." "Will be preserved" is in the future tense. And then he uses the plural, "they," not the singular "her" or "she." "They" means women who come after Eve. So this verse is for you, mom, today. Second, please note that Paul is not saying women were saved from sin by childbearing. Obviously, having babies does not make you a Christian. That is not what he is saying. Only one's faith alone in Christ alone makes one a Christian. Here is the point. As Eve led the whole human race into sin, the godly Christian mother can lead many out of sin to Christ. And how does a mother do that? Well, look at the passage if you can, and I'm going to read it again. "But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint." Did you hear the word "if"? If the woman who bears children continues in, listen, faith, in love, in sanctity with self-restraint. If she does this, then this mother can raise a whole generation of children who love Christ and worship God. In this sense, she will be preserved. She will offer salvation, whereas Eve offered sin. By the way, the word sanctity means holiness. Sanctity means holiness. You can offer salvation whereas Eve offered sin. This is, again, the power of the home in which children are nurtured and raised by a godly, Christ-centered mother. All the time and attention you give to your sons and daughters is a ministry. What a high calling you have. In fact, what is more impactful than a mother, and yes, a father, who day after day and year after year disciples a young person in the way of Christ? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus? Do you have love? Do you show sanctity, that is, holiness with self-restraint? If so, you, woman of God, you are drawing your little ones to Jesus and salvation. Listen to this encouragement from author Henry Morris. I'm quoting him now. Each birthday is a picture and promise. For the instructed and trusting woman, the experience of childbirth, therefore, can be and always should be a time of blessing, of closeness to God and to her husband. The suffering is submerged in the rejoicing, and this in itself goes far toward mitigating the physical pain. He is right. The experience of childbirth is a time of blessing, of closeness to God and to her husband. The suffering is submerged in the rejoicing. My prayer for those of you married women listening in, those who have given birth or soon will, my prayer is that you will see how even the pain you will experience is a blessing as you live your life in the presence of Jesus, who is your hope, and he is your children's only hope. Let's go back now to Genesis 3, verse 16, where we find God said to Eve, first, there will be pain in childbirth, and then second, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Let's take a look now at how God's punishment for Eve falls in relation to her husband, and how this applies to married women today. I just have time to set this up, and then we'll come back to it, Lord willing, as we end this week together tomorrow. Let me remind you of how Eve acted towards her husband Adam in the sin. I'm reading verse 6 of Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 6 says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. We will start here when you join me again tomorrow, for God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.